You're listening to Saxon's Creed Radio Show. I'm David James, and I'm your host. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, wherever you're listening, however you're listening, whatever mood you're in, however you're feeling. Welcome. Welcome, dear kinsmen, kinswomen. Yes, it's wonderful the season change. Wonderful the nice, cooler, crisp weather and fresh air. It's nice to have it. It's a wonderful thing. Well, here we are. We're going to continue in The Watchtower and the Masons. And I'd like to thank two people that recently donated, Brian and David. I want to thank you very much for helping me in my work and in the Father's work, which is my work. It's my work to do this Father's work, and I'm so happy that that is the way it is. If only more of you understood what it is to do the Father's work and would like to be part of that. If only you understood how wonderful it is to be able to speak for the Father and to let him have his way in these messages and to teach his people so that they would not perish for the lack of knowledge. Thank you for listening. Thank you for sharing these videos. Thank you for liking the videos. I hope you're learning the most you can from them, and I hope that it will make you a better man or woman in the Father's kingdom. Well, I hope you enjoyed the, if you didn't, listen to the Rabbit Hole Radio Show or the Midweek News. Pretty much some heavy stuff going on there. The Rabbit Hole Radio Show turned out to be another one of these things. I sat down to do the message on Maurice Pinet's book. This is 2 weeks in a row now. and the message was just changed immediately. I had no preparation for it. I just spoke the message. No preparations whatsoever. And, you know, this, the Father, when he does these things, it really encourages me and makes me happy. That's all I can tell you. I don't know how to describe it in any other way. But remember, I always say that the world has plans or the Jews have plans, but don't forget that the Father has plans, and whose plans are going to supersede whose? And I'm very glad that the Father's plans will be superseding those of the Jews. It seems we have come to the crest of evil. I mean, it could go higher. I mean, or should I really say lower? But you know what I mean. It's at its highest point at this point. It really seems to be that way. This is higher than Sodom and Gomorrah. If you know of the things that went on in Sodom and Gomorrah, it was really wicked. But the stories you hear today supersede that of what went on in Sodom and Gomorrah. The only thing I would say the difference is these homosexuals were trying to have sex with angels. So, I mean, that's pretty heavy. But there's some heavy stuff going on today that we may not know is even happening. And the level of pedophilia alone is just off the charts. Praise the Father that he is answering prayers and people are getting arrested all over the world. And may that continue in the mighty name of Yahweh. May they all be arrested and destroyed. And some other good news is some of these pedophiles that are in prison are getting killed. As you see, I don't know if Jeffrey Epstein really got killed, though. I really don't believe it for a minute. But there are pedophiles being killed in jail. And praise the Father for that, because that's the true judgment that should be on them. They should not be sitting in a jail or let out of a jail to do it again. They should be eradicated immediately. Better if a millstone were tied around his neck than one should harm one of these little children. So, why don't we go into the Watchtower and the Masons here? We left off last week on page 151, and we're just about at the end of one of Pastor Russell's sermons, and my, has it been eye-opening or what? I mean, it is just astounding the language that's going on in this particular sermon here. It's hard to believe that any Christian would sit through it and listen to this garbage. I mean, for, you know, obviously the Jehovah Witnesses are not Christians. They're Antichrist. But I can understand why Jews would sit and listen to this garbage. Now, we're going through this so we can see what kind of apostasy really exists, has existed. You know, it's funny that we used to think of the 50s as such an innocent time in America, but I don't really believe it was as innocent as I thought. We had a Falasha Jew as president, the terrible Swedish Jew with his half-black mammy, Mr. Eisenhower, and a lot of bad legislation was going on during that time, including your real estate taxes, just in case you didn't know that. Before that, there were no real estate taxes. So, let's start right here where we finished off. And Russell, this, remember again, this is not scripture. This is Bertrand, This is Bertrand Russell is another fellow. Charles Taze Russell's, one of his sermons that is just loaded with all kinds of incredible garbage, let's say. Listen how the scriptures have been twisted all up. So, the order's ultimate purposes. We are not hindered from telling the ultimate purposes of this grand secret order, which our Lord organized, and of which I trust. Many of you, can you imagine this? The grand secret. See, that's Freemasonic jargon. And this whole thing has been filled with Freemasonic jargon. And when they say the Lord, the reason why I'm reading the Lord here is because that's his Lord. That's the one that he bowed his knee to. You see, he rejected, I'm just reminding you, he rejected the Presbyterian Church. He rejected the doctrine of Scripture. He rejected Jesus Christ and adhered to an heresy, which is known as the Arian heresy. Not Arian as white with the Y, but A-R-I-E-N, I think it is, heresy, which states that Jesus Christ was just a man. He is not God. You know what that means immediately, right? You know what the scriptures tell us. You know that I tell you the reason why I can read something like this and not be fooled by it is because I know what the real looks like. I've read the real scriptures. And once you know what the real is, this is something I'm trying to drill through to you, is that once you know what the real is, you won't be fooled by the imitation. There are many imitations, and this is just one of them. So let's continue. Many of you are members through faith and in consecration to the Lord, to Baal. We may tell of those these mysteries, knowing that none of you will be able to appreciate or thoroughly to comprehend all of these mysteries, except such of you as has taken several degrees in the order, passing from grace to grace and from knowledge to knowledge. Now, when you take degrees, that's a Masonic thing. It's a Gnostic thing. So what Charles Taze Russell has done here is he created himself a power base. The reason for the Gnostic religion is to create a power base where you need to keep returning to them for your next set of truths so that you can pass the next degree. The order that he's claiming is the order is the Melchizedek, the order of Melchizedek, which is an actual scriptural thing. But this has been twisted way out of shape. There are no degrees in the order in the sense of we're going to be passing as he's saying here. So he continues, we remind you here of the master's words. When approached by the disciples who asked, Lord, why speakest thou unto the people in parables? Jesus answered and said unto them, to you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. But unto all outsiders these things are spoken in parables and in dark sayings, that hearing they might hear and not understand. Now let me just stop right there. What is he cloaking here? What he's trying to do, he's using the jargon of the scriptures to make you think the Lord he's talking about is Jesus, but it's not. Unless it's the Jewish Jesus, who is not the true Jesus. But one thing he's cloaking here is, he's not telling you what we all know, that he spoke in parables so that the Jews would not understand. Notice how here, the way he put it, it's like, well, there's some people in the world that the Father likes and there's others that are outsiders that he doesn't like, and he doesn't want them to understand. But he's not telling you who those outsiders are. Those outsiders just could be anybody, like the war on terrorism. They just could be anybody. They're faceless people. A man without a face. You know what I mean? And so this is a guise, a way to not tell the truth. Because I wonder, you have to wonder if Mr. Russell, as messed up as he is and as evil as he is and as antichrist as he is, it's a wonder if he doesn't know that the Jews are the ones that were kept out of the mysteries of the kingdom. Anyhow, he says, to our understanding, the total number of members in this order of the Melchizedek priesthood will be 144,001. He added one. And nobody said that these 144,000 were the Melchizedek priesthood that I know of. They were just 12,000 from the 12 tribes of Israel. They are a special people, but I don't remember anything in the scripture saying that they are of the Melchizedek priesthood. So he says he's going to tell you who the extra one is. The one, there's 144,000. 12,000 from each of the tribes, but it doesn't say that here. But he says, the one being our grand master and Lord Redeemer, the others being those whom he says, all ye are brethren, and of whom the apostle declares they are members in the particular body of Christ. The particular of the body of Christ? The church of the firstborns, whose names are written in heaven, Hebrews 12:23. You see how screwy this really is? And he continues, under another figure, our Lord is spoken of as a bridegroom, and these 144,000 now espoused him, covenanted to hint, are ultimately to be united to him as his bride, to become the Lamb's wife and associates in his throne and work of the future. Revelations 21:9. Ladies and gentlemen, I've never heard anything anywhere in the scriptures saying that the 144,000 are exclusive to being the bride of Christ. He didn't say in the book of Hosea, you will no longer call me Bailey, you'll call me Ishi, which means husbandman. He never said, the 144,000 will no longer call me Bailey, which means Lord, Baal. They will call me Ishi, which means husband. For we are all, we that are all in the Father's kingdom, are all comprised in the body of Christ. It's just that simple. So this is all made up, as you can see. So he's trying to tell you that there's an exclusive people, and it's only 144,000. Anybody outside that is, well, you know, they're just sort of not the special people. There's only going to be a certain amount of special people. Now, it's funny because I never heard of the 144,001. Isn't that interesting? So it continues, with the completion of this elect class, all shaped and polished as the Lord's jewels by present trials, difficulties, etc., etc., the time will have come for the inauguration of the work of his royal priesthood. The kingdom class will then all be in glory, Jesus their head glorified 19 centuries ago. The church, his body glorified with him by a share in his kind of resurrection and at his second coming. Then the law shall go forth and the word of the Lord, then Satan shall be bound. Then every evil thing shall be plucked up by the root. You know that he's not going to tell you that the Father talks about plucking up by the root. He said, every plant not planted by my Father shall be plucked up. And, you know what that means. In other words, every hybrid abomination that there is will be plucked up. And it says, then every evil thing shall be plucked up by the root. See, it's called an evil thing to be an hybrid. Because it's an abomination. It's a corruption, a live physical, spiritual, mental corruption. Okay, these are my words. I'm just letting you know. So he says, what a turmoil this will mean at the beginning may be better imagined than described. But so as far as the uprooting and upturning is concerned, the Lord has a peculiar way of accomplishing this, namely by simply allowing present institutions to run amok, to overthrow themselves, to develop anarchy, which will sweep the world as with a besom of destruction and produce a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation. It will be at the conclusion of this period of awful anarchy toward which the world is now heading rapidly, and from which it cannot be held back by human wisdom and prejudice, because selfishness has blinded the minds of the masses. Well, there's a little bit of truth in all this. The scriptures tell us that when that plowshare of trouble shall have passed through the world and finally the new order of things shall be developed, the poor world will begin to have saner ideas in respect to life, justice, and righteousness. And we read that many nations shall then say, come, let us go up to the kingdom of the Lord, to the house of God of Jacob, the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we shall walk in his path. Micah 4:2. And again, the desire of all nations shall come. All nations will be by that time so thoroughly weary with the awful trouble that they will be glad to welcome the reign of righteousness then due to be inaugurated. Let me just stop right there. That is an underestimation by all means. Let me just tell you something right now. If the Father came today and established his kingdom on this earth, there are those who will not be glad because they are not going to be part of it. But let me tell you right now, I'd be so happy, and I know a lot of you would be too. At least I think I will be, unless he does not know me, but I don't think so. I have a relationship with him, and I hope you do too. You see, this is an order of the golden age that he's talking about. It's not the Father's kingdom, but he's using that kind of jargon. It's trickery. It's word trickery. It's the use of the Father's words in different ways. So he continues, the reforms of that time will be thoroughgoing. Justice will be laid to the line and righteousness to the plummet. And the lies will all have been swept away. Well, that's for sure. Satan, like the lies that you're telling, Mr. Russell, Satan shall be bound for 1,000 years. His deceptions shall cease. And instead of the light of the knowledge of the glory of God shall fill the whole earth. Isaiah 28:17, Habakkuk 2:14. When thus the judgments of the Lord shall be abroad in the earth, rewards for well-doing and stripes or punishment for evil-doing, the inhabitants of the world shall learn righteousness. Then the willful, persistent evildoer shall be cut off in the second death. Ultimately, the blessing of the Lord through his Melchizedek priesthood shall accomplish all that is its divine founder outlined in the first statement of these good news to Abraham. It says THSE, it's a printing error. Namely, in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Okay. That is not necessarily for the time of the kingdom. That is all throughout the time of our testing and punishment. As a result, I want you to notice something that the Father has done. Now, you know, this. I'm going out of his sermon here, this fellow. But the Father has made it so that when the judgment comes, all these people that surrounded the woman and have done us evil throughout all of time, including the Jews, we will have been a blessing to all the families of the earth. And that will be part of our defense during the time of judgment. Isn't that wonderful how the Father made that? You see, that's what that really means, that when Abraham was told that in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed, you see, it means that the Father was ensuring our innocence and our good doing as a race, and that we had done them good, but they had done us evil in return, and that is what's happening. You can see that, right? You do see that the other families of the world are doing us evil in return for the good that we have done them. Correct? Correct. So he continues, as a result, we read that every knee shall bow and every tongue confess to the glory of God. Well, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is God, is what it really means. And that Christ shall reign until he shall have put down every opposition and evil. The last enemy that shall be destroyed being death. Isaiah 45:23. The whole world shall thus be uplifted from the power of sin and death and be brought back to allegiance to the Heavenly Father. Well, in reality, what will happen is we will be separated from sin and death, Mr. Russell, and death and hell shall be cast, and the false prophet and the devil shall be cast into the lake of fire, and that will keep us good and separated from it from then on. We're not going to be uplifted from the power of sin. It's going to be removed from us. But that's what he says, okay? I say it's going to be removed. He says it's going to be uplifted. And then he continues, saith the scriptures, the Christ, the Melchizedek priesthood, shall deliver up the kingdom to God, even the Father, that he may be all in all. However, the scriptures clearly indicate elsewhere that the great honor of God upon Christ, his beloved Son, and upon the church, the bride of Christ, will be an everlasting honor. But the details of the Father's purposes for the churches are still held as an unrevealed mystery. See, we're still talking the jargon here. Even to those who have the secret of the Lord, and to whom he has shown the signification of his covenant made to Abraham respecting the blessing of all families of the earth. Now, funny how he negates to talk about that the covenant is with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob and their seed. Funny how he neglects that and just says there's a covenant with Abraham, respecting the blessing of all the families of the earth. So he says, in conclusion, dear friends, and this is especially important right here. It says, hard work. Work hard at your secret order's requirements to make your salvation sure. Let me read that again. Work hard at your secret order's requirements to make your salvation sure. You see the deviltry going on here? So he says, I exhort that we who have become members of this secret order of the Lord, including, see, and it is a secret order, this Jehovah Witnesses thing. Jehovah is the devil. That's one of the names of the devil. And this secret order, Baal, the order of Baal, Baal's another of his names. He says, I exhort that we who have become members of this secret order of the Lord of Baal, including all those who under the teachings of the Lord's Spirit, that's an interesting combination, Baal's Spirit, may yet become members of it. They shall appreciate more and more fully its wonderful privileges, and gladly conform more and more to its requirements, the order, that is, that we may thus make our calling and election sure to the glorious fruition of our hopes in the kingdom of God and its gracious work under the whole heavens. So that whole thing means work hard at your secret order's requirements to make your salvation sure. So obey the order. Now we know that the Father says over and over, he who loves me and obeys my commandments will I, etc. You understand, right? He who is an overcomer will I, etc., etc., etc. You understand? He never said anything about any order that you were going to serve an order and do all of the order's requirements to guarantee your salvation, did he? I mean, this is just, it's amazing to me that somebody would have the guts, the audacity to even present something like this to people. And yet, they fooled these people. The Jews were laughing, I'm sure. They were getting a big kick out of it. I'm sure it was fun for the Jews to come and sit in the pews and listen to this nonsense and watch these deceived sheep bowing to the order and serving the order. And the order that runs this whole thing is called the B'nai B'rith, a Masonic order. Do you understand that? You realize what we're dealing with here? The B'nai B'rith is an exclusive Jewish lodge of Freemasonry in New York, and it has other ones around the world. I believe B'nai B'rith means brothers of the covenant, but it's not a covenant with the Father in heaven, that's for sure. It's a covenant with Baal or Jehovah, not Yahweh. Yahweh is not Jehovah, and vice versa. So he continues, we shall best do this by studying our manual, which our Lord has given us. Now let me stop. The manual that was given to the Jehovah Witnesses is this extra fellow that's between, you know, mediator. This manual is the Jehovah's Witness translation of the Bible. You are to read that manual to tell you what to believe in the scriptures. So this is what I was trying to tell you, and hopefully you're getting it after all this time, or maybe you already did. There is one mediator between Yahweh and man, the Word of God, Christ Jesus. But now there's another mediator in the Jehovah Witnesses order, and that is their Bible. So he says, we shall best do this by studying our manual, which our Lord, our Baal has given us, his word. And by developing the various fruits and graces of the Spirit, all of which are elements of the one general law of our order, namely to love God and to our fellows, I remind you of St. Peter's words. Why does he call him St. Peter? That's a Catholicism type thing. If ye do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be administered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Okay. Now, do you find that interesting? Can you believe what you're hearing and seeing in this sermon by Charles Taze Russell? Is there any wonder in your mind why Jews love to go and listen to his sermons? You know they're Antichrist, right? So of course they would love to go to an Antichrist sermon. After all, snakes of a snakeskin shed together. This is chapter 9 we're going in, and it says it's an actual Masonic sermon. I hope you don't believe that this kind of a thing is a waste of your time, because you're finally learning things. Did you know all these things about the Jehovah Witnesses? Did you realize it was that crazy? That Antichrist, anti-Christian, that common to Freemasonry? Okay, so this is an actual Masonic sermon. A Freemason in Kansas is quoted in the American Tyler, 5th June, 1890, pages 1 and 2. Freemasonry is not only a brotherhood, but a church. A Masonic temple is a religious temple. The very word temple implies worship. And this is what I was telling you many times as I've exposed the Freemasonic deception. They will always say to me, oh no, Freemasonry is not a religion. Yet over and over in their books, they reiterate that it definitely is a religion. As you just saw in this, I'll read this quote one more time. But I would often say to them, if Freemasonry is not a religion, then why do you go to the temple to worship? They never have an answer for that. But I do know what they're referring to, that Freemasonry is not just a church, just an imitation of the Christian church, but it is a science. And when you put it in Rosicrucianism, it's the science, soul science, the science of the soul, bringing man from lead to gold. You see, it's a copy of the Father's things. He wants gold tried by fire, he said in the book of Revelation. The reason why we're going through the tests we are being transformed and we are being purified by fire, by the trial, the fire of trial or the trial of fire. And so they copy everything. When the Masons mean a man turns to gold, it means man is perfected, that he is now a god. He is a Christ. Remember, the secret word of Freemasonry is the Christ within. And the Masonic secret, the lost secret of Freemasonry, is that all can attain Christhood. That all are on their way to becoming Christ, to becoming perfect, to becoming gold, to becoming a god. You see what I'm saying? The term they use is alchemy. And that means turning lead to gold. They really tried to do it in reality, tried to turn lead to gold, but it's really speaking of soul science, man becoming the divine, man becoming united with the Christ within. But this isn't Jesus Christ. It's the title of Christhood. So, again, this statement, Freemasonry is not only a brotherhood, but a church. A Masonic temple is a religious temple. The very word temple, quote-unquote, implies worship. The rites and symbols of Masonry, which, though pagan in origin, can you say Babylon? This is their words. The rites and symbols of Masonry, which though pagan, quote unquote, in origin, are all applied to and all flavor of Christianity. I wonder if that should be favor, but it says flavor of Christianity. A Mason has to declare his belief in a personal God, Jehovah, and in the encampment degrees also in Christ. Let me just stop right there and say something about that. See, there again, there's your proof that it's not Yahweh, it's Jehovah. I told you Jehovah is important. And, well, Fritz Springmeier told you in this book that the name Jehovah is important not only to the Watchtower Society and Charles Taze Russell, because this is one of Baal's names, but it's also important to Freemasonry. So again, right here it says, a Mason has to declare his belief in a personal God, Jehovah, and in the encampment degrees also Christ. But that's not Christ Jesus, because they are not allowed to say Jesus Christ in the lodge. So you understand it's just Christ. The reputation of the religious character of the Masonic orders varies from those who see it as Christian to those who see it as demonic. This chat, and that goes for the Christian churches, the Judeo-Christian churches. Let me say that again. Listen, this goes for the religions of the world. I want you to listen to this real carefully now. Just as you look at the Jehovah Witnesses, it's the same thing as it's saying right here. The reputation of the religious character of the Masonic orders or the religions of this world varies from those who see it as Christian to those who see it as demonic. Very important, ladies and gentlemen. So it continues, this chapter won't concern itself with showing its paganism, but rather hopes to display to the reader that even the Masons can sound quite Christian. More than that, this talk could be mistaken for a Jehovah Witnesses sermon if one didn't know better. Degree of Master Mason, symbolism of the degree. We have seen the type of man complete in moral worth and intellectual culture, not left to acquire knowledge, but first prepared to use the knowledge well. When it shall have been obtained, what more is left? Communion with our Maker, the mere knowledge of the deity, as given us heretofore, is that of August Creator, an august Creator, whom we are to reverence, and in whom alone we are to place our trust. But we have not yet seen him walking upon earth and holding open communion with the sons of men. Man has not yet been ennobled by personal contact with the All Holy. So that means we know that Jesus Christ walked the earth. So they are claiming that nobody has seen this All Holy One, this one they're talking about, who is the August Creator, the deity, the Maker. And what's funny is Albert Pike wrote a book claiming that Lucifer cannot create. He's not a creator. He's an architect. So it continues. Let us imagine, remember we're reading a Masonic sermon here. Let us imagine a conception perfectly in accordance with the ideas and opinions of our earthly brethren. Who has at any time seen God and lived? Adam, our first progenitor, but only in the days of his innocence, since the day when all mankind was corrupted by his fall, listen, no man has looked upon the face of the Almighty. Now, what would be the natural opinion of our ancient brethren as to the means of securing God's actual presence? We know, listen carefully, please, and understand, Neshab, we know that for 1,000 years, men labored to find the true name of Jehovah, which they believed would be a talisman, giving them power over all the secrets of the universe. Let me stop right there and we'll look up the word talisman. I remember Deep Purple had an album talking about the talisman. This is a very pagan thing, ladies and gentlemen. An object. So his name is an object, they're saying. An object, typically an inscribed ring or stone, that is thought to have magic powers and to bring good luck. Those rings, like the Lord of the Rings, right? So fresh and gleaming were their talismans. A person regarded as representing and inspiring a particular group. He is a quiet man off the field, but on it he is our talisman. And I'm sure we could find more about the talisman. Let me just quickly see what this might say. I like synonyms. A talisman, a synonym to a talisman would be an amulet, a charm, a fetish, also fetish, a mascot, a periapt, a phylactery, like the cube on the top of the Jew's rabbi's head. And, you know, it's a talisman. You see that they're practicing evil, don't you? You see that it's the black cube, don't you? And now you see that in the sports in America, they have a mascot, which is a talisman, a bringer of good luck. Magically, the people's belief in this mascot, or as the devil blacks would say in the blues, they'd say, I got my mojo working, but it just don't work on you. The talisman. You see, this is evil. My mojo. You get it? And we connecting dots, fetish, charm, amulet. You know how the Italians or Italians have this horn that they, it's a golden horn on a necklace. That's what that is. It's a charm. You know how the Catholic will hang some kind of a saint or something in their vehicle from the mirror? That's a talisman. It's a charm. It's a bringer of good luck, a bringer of protection, a mojo, a phylactery, a mascot. Ladies and gentlemen, praise the Father in heaven, for he alone is God. He alone is worthy. Who is worthy to open up the little book? Why, only he is. That's who. Who is more wonderful than the Father? Who knows more than the Father? Who is more creative than the Father? The answer to all those questions is no one. Who is as good as the Father? Who is equal to the Father? Who is as trustworthy as the Father? Who is as wonderful and as good of a counselor as the Father? The answer is no one. No one even comes close to being worthy. No one even comes close to being any of, being close to being as good as he is in all of his attributes. There's nobody. Zero. That's why the devil said, I will be like the Most High. I will be like the Most High. Because he knows even his own self that he could never be the Most High. He's a wannabe. So just like he says he will be like the Most High, Freemasonry, his devil church that worships the Lightbringer, Lucifer himself, Halel, it will be like the Christian congregations. Let's return. So, again, on this statement, now we know what a talisman is, right? We know that for 1,000 years, men labored to find the true name of Jehovah, which they believed would be a talisman, giving them power over all the secrets of the universe. Hello? That's not using the Father's name, and that's not the Father's name, but I'm just saying, if you thought it was the Father's name, they're not going to be using that name for good, do you think? Do you think that when they want to have power over all the secrets of the universe, that they want to use that power for good? I'm just asking you that question. Do you think so? Because I don't. They wouldn't use the Father's name, Yahweh, and try to do such a thing. They at least know better than that. But the Father's name is not the devil's name, but Jehovah is. You see the trickery that's been going on? This is something that's being revealed to you and I today. This is not something that's common knowledge. People think the Father's name is Jehovah. This is trickery. You don't see anybody out there talking about how the name of Jehovah, except me, how the name of Jehovah is the devil's name. But you do, they're all upset about the name of Yahweh. There's Jews that are writing articles. There's all kinds of devils writing articles. They're upset. Why are they upset in the name of Yahweh? Why aren't they upset at the name Jehovah? Because the sentence answers it for you. We know that for 1,000 years, men labored to find the true name of Jehovah, which they believed would be a talisman, giving them power over all the secrets of the universe. Union of the most unselfish nature formed the grand characteristic of our brotherhood, fraternity. Ambition, desire for fame, every passion which appeals to the self-love of man was merged in the perfect union engendered by an adherence to the tenets of the order. Hello, are you listening? To such a degree. Listen to what it's saying right there. Did you understand that? Ambition, desire for fame, every passion which appeals to the self-love of man was merged in the perfect union engendered by an adherence to the tenets of the order to such a degree that the names even of our great architects have not come down to us, though their works still stand, attest their excellence. All was the work of the brethren, and each was allowed his share of the glory. You see where their glory comes from? It doesn't come from Yahweh. It comes from ambition, desire for fame, or every passion which appeals to the self-love of man. And they say it was merged in the perfect union engendered by an adherence to the tenets of the order of such a degree, to such a degree. Are you digging what I'm saying to you right now? You see, this is again the worship of Solomon. Solomon was given the greatest portion of wisdom, probably of any man up to his time, and probably even since his time. I don't know. But what happened to him was he gave in to every passion. He denied himself nothing. He gave in to every passion which appealed to his self-love, the love of himself. Every desire he gave into. Every ambition he gave into. And in doing so, he fell from grace. That his wisdom, which should have protected him and kept him from the fall, was the very undoing of himself, his feelings, his passions. This is what took Solomon down. He disobeyed the Father. He brought foreign women in with their gods. He tried to talk to the dead. He tried to control demons, etc., etc., etc. These things are not wisdom. Wisdom would have told you to stay clear from these types of things. So in his search of becoming wise, he became a fool. So be careful that if you ask the Father for wisdom, you better ask him to be able to wield it properly and that it would protect you. Because something happened to Solomon, as you can see. You see, if you give in to your feelings, this is why he wrote in the book of Ecclesiastes, it's all about depression. Everything is made in vain. Everything we do is in vain. Oh, boo-hoo-hoo. Oh, every work of ours is no good because it will pass when we leave, and all this kind of boo-hoo-ery that he put out. That's what Ecclesiastes, I taught on the book of Ecclesiastes. The teacher teaches the book of Ecclesiastes if you go on my website. davidjamesboston.com, and you will see the depression of this man. All is in vain. Boo-hoo. Whoa. His feelings got a hold of him. He did not have control of his vessel any longer. And when your body is ruled by passion and ruled by ambition and desire for fame and the passions that appeal to the self-love of man, troubles are coming your way. This is something I've been warning you about, or should I say the Father has made it very clear that that's what the weakness of woman is her feelings. It's not, of course, she's physically weaker than man is too, but a woman is especially, and the beasts of the field, as you can see, are especially moved by their feelings. They have no control over their feelings. And it is their undoing. And a woman's feelings can undo a man, as we saw with Samson, didn't we? Even his own feelings undid him because of his love for this particular woman. So let's continue. See what it says here? All was the work of the brethren, and each was allowed his share of the glory. The brethren. See how they use the same terminology? Listen to this. Now with this perfect union and with the knowledge that the belief existed that it was through the weakness of man only that he could not endure the presence of his Creator, what's so natural as to suppose that if three brethren be found as types respectively of moral, intellectual, and physical perfection, and they be joined together in holy fellowship, which should make their very souls as one, they might in mystic union, call upon the great and sacred name of the deity and receive an answer to their prayer, the question? In other words, pray in Jehovah's name. Jehovah's name. Are you hearing what I'm hearing? Listen, let's take a quick break here. Time is flying. This is a song from my album. And it's called Blue Skies. It's about the chemtrails in the sky. Listen to the words, and I think you'll understand. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Saxon's Creed Radio Show, coming to you from davidjamesboston.com, your source for the way, the truth, and the life. Oh no, my site isn't the way, the truth, and the life, but it's a source of information that will guide you to the way, to the truth, and to the life. Through the Father's Word, which is the only way, truth, and a life. I hope that you will visit the site. I hope you'll read the articles. I hope you'll comment on the articles. I hope that you will participate, share the site, help this message get out to people. These messages are important to reach our people. No, we're not going to reach the whole world, unfortunately. But we can do better than we're doing now. If we could just do 10% better than we're doing now, that would be something to speak of. If you care about the kingdom, and you care about the Father, and you care about those who do his work, I hope you're supporting those types of people. I don't understand why you wouldn't be. Anyway, let's continue in this Masonic sermon where they just told you they could pray in Jehovah's name. So he says that this idea did prevail. We have sufficient proof. And it is to this, rather than any more utilitarian views. Utilitarian views, right. That we are to look for the rule which, in a purely speculative institution, so sternly demands physical as well as moral and intellectual integrity. Isn't that funny what a lie that really is right there? Because these people go by the ends justify the means. And if you have to lie to get your brother out of trouble, so be it. And that the profane don't deserve the truth, so lying to them is okay. Both the Watchtower and Masonry say the same thing. So as far as moral or intellectual integrity, they have about the same moral and intellectual integrity as the Jews do. And you know what that means. We know that the wise and good days, we know that the wise and good of the days of Solomon regarded his idolatry as an evidence that the countenance of the All-Holy had been darkened to him, that he no longer held interviews with the only wise God, through which they deemed that his superhuman wisdom came. And indeed, it would seem to them a thing of monstrous and wholly unnatural that the being whose intellect had been illumined from above, illumined, and to whom Jehovah had promised wisdom beyond that of men, should grovel in adoration before false gods. Did they not also believe that it was only through direct and constant communion with the Almighty that this wisdom could continue? And now that he has no longer sought that presence, he was given over to the blind guidance of his passions. Well, as I was telling you, right? This degree is a type of the communion of man with God. Long before the incarnation of that great being was the hope entertained of seeing him with mortal eyes, and no exertions, were deemed too great to ensure that consummation. With us, these ideas are but a type, for we have that realization so longed for by the brethren of old. Now listen carefully. And yet as a type, how interesting it is to look back upon their struggles, to look forward into what is now bright and clear. The past, i.e., Past is types. Light is now lighter. The light is now lighter, brighter. You see? That was the little note he put on the left. The practical lessons to be found in the full expression of the ceremonies of this degree was, right? That this is about a degree, one of the degrees. Let's see which one it is again real quickly. The degree of Master Mason, which is the third degree. You've heard of being given the third degree, right? This is where most people stop. They get to the top of the third degree, and that's about as far as they go. But there are others that go a lot further. So, it says, we now find man complete in morality and intelligence, with the stay of religion added, to ensure him of the protection of the deity and guard him against ever going astray. Listen carefully. Neshab. These three degrees thus form a perfect and harmonious whole. Nor can we conceive that anything can be suggested more which the soul of man requires. These degrees of the order of Masonry with religion added, see? Listen to this. Such a speech could have easily been written by Charles Taze Russell, but it wasn't. It was written by the Master Mason General Ahiman Raison. The author felt that this Masonic speech gives an awareness of how Charles Taze Russell may well have felt comfortable to have been a Knights Templar. Okay, we're on chapter 10 here. Russell, a Martin Luther or Mason? The author hasn't had access to the full range of documents that would help confirm Russell's membership in a Masonic order. Rather than presenting conclusive evidence about a membership, the author will present a series of cases that will show the reader the importance of not just giving attention to what man writes, but also what he does. Let me just stop right there. I just spoke about this, and this is good advice. I'm going to give you a piece of good advice, and some of you already know this advice, and probably all of us need to keep being reminded of this advice. I hope you know that your hope in politicians is a waste of time. Your hope in man solving the problems of the world is almost hopeless. There may have been hope in other times that there might have been hope in other times, like when the people came to America and different things, but we're running out of hope at this point as evil comes to its crux. The good advice that I'm giving you is, instead of worshiping these politicians, which man just loves to worship man, I don't know what it is, you hear what they say. For instance, of course I have to use Mr. T-Rump. He says he wants to make America great again. But what does he do to make America great again? The answer is nothing. There's all kinds of talk about making America great again. And I thought to myself, funny that, you know, I was thinking that it means make America go away or make America go astray with the red hat. If you're not familiar with what I'm talking about, please listen to the Rabbit Hole Radio Show. And you'll understand what I'm talking about with the red hat. Make America go away or make America go astray. What if it doesn't mean make? What if it's not an acronym for make America great again? Have you ever thought that that could be a possibility? So let's continue. So in other words, the point is, don't just listen to what people say. Rather, watch what they do. Because it's the old adage about walking the walk and talking the talk. Lots of people talk the talk, like Charles Taze Russell did, or like this Mason did. But very few, even of our own brethren, walk the walk. Very few help me in my work. They talk the talk and say this and say that, but when it comes to walking the walk, nay, 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 nay. So it continues here. Many people incorrectly think that the Watchtower publishes or the society says what it says is the absolute truth. In order to break the illusion of Watchtower credibility and to open the reader's mind to the possibility of Russell's duplicity with occultic Freemasonry, this chapter has been written. Indeed, the cases presented in this chapter are very revealing and will be very shocking to some people. Prior to Charles Taze Russell's second trip in 1911 to the Great Pyramid, 9-11 is right in that, to the Great Pyramid, Russell had found himself in the Court of Common Pleas. He faced divorce proceedings launched by his soon-to-be ex-wife. As so often happens, both parties threw everything but the kitchen sink at each other. In court in 1906, Maria Russell brought the accusation of child molestation against Charles Taze Russell. Russell admitted he'd locked himself in with Miss Ball to minister to the sick, quote unquote, and had Miss Ball, but only to give spiritual tonic, quote unquote. To set his congregation at ease, Charles Taze Russell took a vow unto the Lord, unto Baal. Remember, he bowed his knee to the unknown God? So, to set his congregation at ease, Charles Taze Russell took a vow unto the Lord, which actually consisted of five vows, two of which concerned his sexual conduct. He vowed he would conduct himself privately in the same manner with the opposite sex as publicly, and not lock himself in any room with the opposite sex alone. These vows were printed in the Watchtower of 6/15/1908. Interesting that that is what Pence does. He will not be in a room with a woman alone. This feminism has caused a division between man and woman that man no longer trusts to be in the presence of a woman alone because the woman will use it as a weapon against him. Lies, and of course people will instantly believe the lie. So therefore it is no longer safe. This is how divided we are at this point. Yeah, I'm just trying to point this out. That this is the same thing. I wonder if he originated this idea that he would not put himself in a room with anyone from the opposite sex alone in that room with them. Very interesting, isn't it? As there was a question as to whether he'd been involved in the occult, he also publicly addressed that issue in his vows. He vowed, "I vow to thee that I will be on alert to resist everything akin to spiritism and occultism, and that remembering that there are but two masters, I shall resist these snares in all reasonable ways as being of the adversary." In his speaking here, the adversary is Yahweh. Remember, he rejected Christianity. He rejected the Father in the flesh with the heresy called Arianism. And he bowed his knee to Baal. So when he's speaking, you've got to be very aware. His adversary is the Father and Jesus Christ. But he's pretending it's the devil, the same as your adversary. This vow was repeated publicly. I will be on the alert to resist everything akin to spiritism and occultism. But that's not true, as you can see, because he's got all of this within his sermons. He's got them on the icons of his book and everything else. Chapter 7 clearly shows beyond a doubt that Charles Taze Russell soon broke that vow. This is what I'm talking about. The winged sun disc is not only akin to the occult, it is part of the occult. It was originally used in Egyptian magic. In modern times, it is still used for magic, whether by non-Masonic practitioners of Egyptian magic or Masonic ones. The first three degrees are called the Blue Lodge. Why? Because the heavens, astrology, is so important to them. Astrology is important to Masonry, as it is to many groups steeped in the occult. The zodiac signs were formed in pagan Babylon and have all kinds of occultic significance. Yet Russell, after his vow, had no problem displaying zodiac signs on his photo drama of creation, page 2. In this steering clear of anything akin to spiritism and occultism. I mean, is this steering clear of anything akin to spiritism and occultism is the question. Interestingly, while breaking his own vow, Russell was busy pointing the finger at Christendom. He interpreted Jeremiah 51:7 in a sermon, "Babylon was a gold cup in the Lord's hand. She made the whole earth drunk. The nations drank her wine." You know who that is, the woman riding the beast in Revelations. So that's from Jeremiah 51:7. I'll be looking into that. Thank you, Mr. Russell. "Babylon was a gold cup in the Lord's hand. She made the whole earth drunk. The nations drank her wine. Therefore, they have now gone mad." Russell was claiming the gold cup was the Bible, and that the heathen philosophies were joined with Christendom into a poisonous draft, which was mixed and poured into the golden cup of truth, which had made all the nations drunk. You see, isn't that interesting what he is trying to say here? See, he's telling you that he believes in the Bible and the Lord and the Melchizedek order and all these different things, but he's just telling you that he's Antichrist right here. Let me explain something. He's not telling you that the name Jehovah, as Bertrand Comperé had told us how it was created. It was created, it's an hybrid name. What does the Father feel, how does he want things to be carried out with hybrids? He doesn't like hybrids, does he? And I'm sure he doesn't like his name to be mixed with the Lord, Baal, to become Jehovah. Does he? Because that's how it was done. They took the Tetragrammaton, mixed it with the word Adonai, and that's how they come out with the name Jehovah. Which means if you put poison in a cup of pure water, you poison the whole thing. So the name is poison. The name Jehovah is poisoned. You understand that, right? Because it is Baal. And this is what this fellow adheres to, and yet he's saying that Christianity is evil. Really, that's what he's saying. That it's all poisoned. But he's going to straighten you out what to believe on it. It continues here. Ladies and gentlemen, this is pretty much remarkable. "What shall Russell's additions to the gold cup of the Bible be called? Other inconsistencies of Russell are notable. When Russell established congregations, he copied Christadelphian congregational methods, such as their views on membership and baptism, and elected unpaid serving brethren, on women having congregational voting rights, but no part in public speech or prayer." of naming of their congregations ecclesias, of posting signs saying seats free, no collections taken, etc. Christadelphians had specially chosen the unused term ecclesia to name their congregations in order to set themselves apart from all other Christians. Russell liked the term and took away their elusive use of it for his own congregations. Russell was very critical of the Christadelphian ecclesias. Perhaps they were too close for comfort. Naturally, it can be expected some will regard the written statements of the Watchtower Society and its leaders as final and the gospel truth. If these statements were consistent and reliable, the author could use that testimony to show how Russell and Rutherford condemned Freemasonry and skip writing this book. I hope you're listening. But these men of the Watchtower Society have vacillated and contradicted themselves in word and deed, not to mention contradicting each other. When men do not lead consistent lives, it is critical for any objective investigation to look at both what they were saying and what they were doing. Again, the theme. Let me say that again. And I want to stop and I want you to listen to this again. Because talking the talk should equal walking the walk. Listen to what it says. When men do not lead consistent lives, it is critical for any objective investigation to look at both what they were saying and what they were doing. I'm letting that sink in for a sec. It's just the good advice I just gave you. If you see people that are saying one thing and doing another, you should be alarmed. The reader has seen how Russell failed to honor his vow. How about this great leader's followers? Let's examine first the instructions he issued to his Bible students. Are you ready? Calling his people new creation, quote unquote, Russell advises them to withdraw from organizations such as the Freemasons. It is very reasonable to assume that what are called the fraternal insurance societies will fail before the regular companies, because the former are without capital and depend upon assessments, and because these assessments will become the only more onerous as the membership of the societies not only cease to increase, but under pressing conditions will dwindle. This brings before us the whole question of orders, societies, etc., and what privileges the new creation has in connection with such organizations. Is it right for them to be members of these societies, is the question. We answer that while church associations are purely religious, and labor and beneficial organizations in general are purely secular, there are still other orders which combine the religious and the secular features. As we understand the matter, for instance, the Freemasons, Odd Fellows, Knights of Pythias, etc., perform certain rites and ceremonies of a religious kind. Let it be understood that we are not waging any warfare upon those who hold membership in these various orders, even as we are not waging warfare against the various sectarian religious systems. We place upon one level all of those which have any religious ceremonies, teachings, etc., and consider them all as parts of Babylon, some quarters or wards of which are cleaner and others less clean, but all nevertheless full of confusion, error, contrary to the divine intention, as displayed in the organization of the primitive church. Now, I have to stop right there. And that is where we will start next time. I want you to understand what was just said right there. We place upon one level all of those which have any religious ceremonies, teachings, etc., and consider them all as parts of Babylon. What have I been telling you? What is the secret of Mystery Babylon? The secret is, you've been listening to Saxon's Creed Radio Show. I'm David James, and until next time, study to show thyself approved.